Begin the current daven, Sechtes Chulndav Pei Gimel. Begin 5 lines down at the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues to ascertain regarding the question that Abaye asked Rav Yosef in the previous daven. We had a machlikas in the Mishnah regarding this halacha of Eisav es Benai, where we said if, let's say, someone first slaughters the grandmother, then the grandchild, the animal family, and then the middle of the sandwich generation, the mother of the child and the daughter of that grandmother animal, and then in that action, he's essentially violating two Eisav es Benais. It's now the child of that mother, and it's the mother of the other child. So there's a machlekes, the Rabbanu hold the only chayav for one set of lashes, because ultimately it was with one act, with one warning. But on that, Sumcha said in the name of Rabbi Meir that no, you're chayav for Shmainim. So that Abaye wanted to understand the opinion of Sumchas. Is it only because in a way there's Gufin Mechulakin, there's essentially two different elements over here, and therefore you have two sets of lashes? Or is it even more than that? Is it even when, let's say it would be even one element, like eating two olive-sized pieces of chaylev of forbidden fats in one lapse of awareness, that there you would actually get two violations to be chayv, two karbanos chatois, and the same thing over here in our context, when you do it deliberately with a warning, that then actually we get two sets of lashes. So it is only gufim mechalakon, or is it even not even, let's say, in one element? So I think Mark continues trying to answer by Toshma, in the following brisa. If someone eats two gid hanashas, which are the sciatic nerve, which is forbidden, from two thighs, from two animals. Now, from the fact that the Bryce is discussing two different animals, obviously, why are we picking two different animals? You could have two gid hanashas from either thigh in one animal. Obviously, because we're talking about both animals, the gid hanasha is from the right thigh. And because the Tanakhama over here is also like Rabbi Yehuda, although his dispute is Rabbi Yehuda, in the sense that he agrees, not like some other opinions, that the Issa of Gid HaNosh is only in one of the two, and it's in the right side. Which actually the Gemara later on Paragid HaNosh of Tzadik Alf and Manav, from here actually proves that Rabbi Yehuda ultimately resolved, and that originally wasn't clear to him, is it the right thigh or the left thigh that the Gid HaNosh is forbidden, that it's the right one because, again, if he was in doubt, then he wouldn't get lashes at all. So this case, when he's eating two gid hanashas from right thighs from two different animals, so the Tanakhama says seivik shmeinim, so you get two sets of lashes because these are two different gid hanashas. Rabbi Yehuda says no, ina seivik elamem. No, you only get one set of lashes. Says the Gemara, heichadami. What's the case they're talking about? Ilem bezachar zeu b'shteasrois. If it's talking about consecutively and before each gid hanasha was eaten, there was a separate warning. But then my time in Rabbi Yehuda, the Ma'abram Basulai. Then what would be the reason Rabbi Yehuda, who, again, from here it was conclusive that he holds the right thigh that you get eating to get an asha, he agrees it's forbidden, so why would you only be chayev for one? Each one is a separate warning, with a separate act, you should be chayev for 80 lashes. Elabshita, bevas achas ubachad asra. So obviously it's talking about that, no, it was, both of them were eaten at the same time, with one warning beforehand. So if that's the case, so we can understand why there would be an opinion that would say only chayev for one, and still the Tanakhama is saying that you'll be chayiv for two sets of lashes. Now, man Tanakhama, who's that Tanakhama? Ilim Rabbanan de Pligal de Sumchas. If you would think it's Rabbanan in our Mishnah dispute Sumchas, and they're saying you chayiv for two sets of lashes, well, how could you say that? Uma hasim de gufim mechulak and pat Rabbanan. If in our Mishnah, which like we said, in a sense is two different elements, and yet still the Rabban say you're exempt from both, you only chayiv for one set of lashes, so Hachal Koshkin over here, for sure, where it's only the same, it's the same element of Gira Nasha, for sure, if you're doing it at the same time, you can be chayiv only one. Elav Sumchas, so obviously it's Sumchas, because he's the only one that we find that says that if you're doing it at the same time, you can be chayiv two. And you see over here that even though they're not Gufim Mechulakin, they're both essentially the same essence of Gira Nasha, it's like eating a glob of chaylev, another zayas, another zayas, and he holds that you have two sets of lashes. So that answers the Abaye's question, where you see that even then it's not Gufim Mechulakin, he holds you chayiv for each one. Says the Gemara, no. Loilam Bezecharza. Really the case is Tobmar is consecutive. So the Tanakhama makes sense, because separate Isser, separate Maisa, separate warning. Oh, the comment might tell the Behuda, but then you said, so what's the reason of Behuda? Why would the Behuda dispute the Tanakhama and say you only chayiv for one set of lashes? Is Kugelin de Lespe Kezai. It's talking about a specific case where one of those two Giranoshes, whether the first one or the second one, didn't have the size of an olive. Only one of them did. Now, the Tanakhama, in spite of that, says you'll be chayiv for both of them, because he holds that the Giranoshes is what's called a beria. It's like its own creature, its own entity. Now, a creature does not need the requisite shear, which generally for Isurim you need to have the size of a Kezai. A beria doesn't need a measurement. And therefore you'll be chayiv on the other gid hanasha too. So you'll be chayiv for two sets of lashes, because it's two actions with bezech hazeh with two warnings. Like a mishnah teaches mesech this makas of yud gimel and aleph, where Reb Shimon said to them, wait, don't you agree to me that if someone eats an ant, even though it's such a small size, he'll be chayiv? So the chachamim say back, that's because kibriyasa, it's a separate creature. A separate creature doesn't have to have a measurement. And that's the reasoning for the Tanakhama. Now, there are those, Rashi says, who want to explain that when the Gemara says, the less per gezayis, means to say, neither one of them had the size of a gezayis. It was only the sum total of both of them that had the size of a gezayis. Rashi says, not to have that interpretation, because how could that be the two different warnings then combining, according to Tanakhama, to be chayv two sets of lashes? Because if you're eating the second gid anasha within kedei achilas pras, well then that's bevas achas. And that's not like the way the Gemara is describing bezech hazeh. And if it's after kedei achilas pras, then they can't combine. So then you shouldn't be chayv in either one of them. So the Rashi says, no, the interpretation is that one of them doesn't have a gezayis, but the other one does. And the Tanya, look, the Braisa said that this is a machlekes of the Tanakhama and Rebbe Yehuda. The Tanakhama says, achlu ve'im bekezayis chayv. If you eat it and it doesn't have the size of an aleph, you're still chayv. So that's why he holds you can be chayv on both these gid anoshes. Rebbe Yehuda Omer atshei bekezayis, he says, no, only until it has the size of an olive, because he holds it's not considered a significant creature in its own rights, like just a piece of the animal, even though it's the gid hanasha. And therefore, if it's not the size of an olive, you're not going to be chayv. And that's why he says, only the one that it kezayis, you can be chayv. And therefore, he says, only one set of lashes and not on two. And therefore, the Gemara didn't resolve a bias question to clarify and elucidate the opinion of Sumchas, how far does it extend? Is it only in our Mishnah with Gufa Mechalakin? Would it even hold when it's not Gufa Mechalakin, like just one thing of Chalev, but every Zayis should be Chayv Asebachatas, and in our context also regarding Memezah to be Chayv Asebach set of lashes. Now the Gemara continues on the halacha of our parak regarding Eisev Es Benoi. Baba Prakim Bashanah, four times in the year, it's the custom for Jewish people to make large festive meals. And generally, if someone's buying an animal, he's only buying it to slaughter it right away. So therefore, if someone sells an animal to his friend, to the consumer, and he had first sold that day the mother or the daughter to someone else, he has to notify this second person. He has to tell him, you should know that today, I sold the mother to be slaughtered, or I sold the daughter to be slaughtered, and maybe it's already slaughtered. So that would be a problem, for you wouldn't be able to slaughter it today. And these are the four times. Erev Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag, the day before the last day of Sukkot, meaning the day before Shmini Atzeres, where people would increase in joy, and therefore they would make these festive meals, because Shmini Atzeres, which we include Simchas Torah, is a Yom Tov in its own right, and therefore it was very dear to them, at the end of the festivity of joy, which is Sukkot. And Erev Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, the day before the first day of Pesach, Ve'er Vatzeres, the day before Shavuos, Ve'er Rosh Hashanah, the day before Rosh Hashanah. Now, okay, Divrei Rabbi Yisrael Glili, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Glili, Af Erev Yom Kippur Megalil. Also, the day before Yom Kippur in the Galil, which is a region in Eretz Yisrael, that there they also, because of, it says, whoever eats on the ninth day of Tishrei, it's as if he fasted 2 days, a very festive time. For those in the Galil, they would have the same halacha where we would assume that someone's buying that animal, it was to slaughter on that day. So you have to notify someone, say, look, I sold the mother. It's very likely that you have to assume that they slaughtered it, and therefore you can't slaughter it today, because that would be Eisev Es Benoi. Now, but Amar Rabbi Yehuda, he qualifies this halacha, and he says, Eimer say, when did we say this? Is Bizman She'en Li Revach. Only if there wasn't any time space between, meaning to say that the mother was sold today. Ava Yesh Li Revach, but if there is a gap, which means if the first animal was sold yesterday and the second one he's selling today, then Ein Tzarech Leidi, then he doesn't have to notify the second consumer, because I could say that the first one had slaughtered already yesterday, and therefore he doesn't have to tell this person to not, you know, as he should know that not to slaughter today. Now, but even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even if the first consumer took the mother yesterday and the other one's taking the child today, that you would have to notify, but Meicher Es Se'em L'chasen. If he sold the mother to the groom's family, Vesabas Lekala, and the daughter, meaning the child of the animal, to the bride's side, Shetzorach Ledia, there you have to notify them, because Biyaduish Hashneim Sheikhtim Yemecha, because you obviously know they're going to slaughter on the same day, the day of the wedding, to have food for the meal. So although it's even on different days, but they're not slaughtering on those days, they're doing it by the day of the Chasnam, and therefore you would have to notify them that they shouldn't slaughter the same day, because that would be Eisev Es Benoi. So too, Baba Prokam Elu, on these four periods in the year, you could force the butcher to slaughter against his will, as the Mishnah is going to explain, where if, let's say, he received even just a dinner's worth of meat, which is not so significant regarding a whole animal of slaughtering it, where he has to give him that amount of meat, that he had paid him, which if it was for these four times in the year. And that's afila shur shove elef dinarm, even the ox, which is worth 1,000 dinarm. Ve'en lekech ledinner, and the lekech only has a dinner's worth. He only gave a dinner to the butcher. You could force the butcher to slaughter, even though he has no buyers for the rest of the meat. As Yimor will explain the reason, but that's halacha. Now, lefika chames, a ramification of this halacha is, therefore, if the animal dies, meis lekech, it's a law, it's a death to the consumer, and he loses his dinner because it's already like he has rights, and that the animal dying, it's his own loss. Now, but all the other days of the year, it's not like this, because to be able to be considered the consumer, he has to do meshicha, he has to actually pull and draw that animal to himself, and as long as he didn't do meshicha, even though he paid for it, it's not considered his, and the butcher could retract. And here too, lefikach emes, mes lamecher. So here the ramification is, if it dies, it's a death to the seller, not to the consumer, because it wasn't considered the consumer's, yes. Yeah, to consider a loss for him, and so too, therefore, he has no right to force the butcher to sell it if he doesn't have enough buyers in that meat. Now, Mark clarifies the halacha of the Mishnah regarding notification. Tana, we learned in the Braise, imloi haidiyoi. We said in these four times of the year, a lot of people are buying meat from the butchers. So if he sold the mother that day, he has to notify the second consumer. But says the Braise, imloi haidiyoi, if he doesn't notify him, hayilich v'sheichet v'eninimna. So he doesn't have to be neurotic about it. He could just go ahead and slaughter, and he doesn't have to stop himself thinking, wait, maybe he sold the mother that day. You don't have to think, the butcher, if the seller didn't tell you, you don't have to hold back because of the concern of Eser Esbenai. Now, Amr Yehuda, Emasai, Bechol Yehuda qualified the halacha, the Mishnah, regarding that in these four times of the year that you have to go ahead and tell the second buyer, because you have to assume people are slaughtering this day. Now, he said that's only when it's the same day, not if it was a different day, but he said there's an exception to that, even if it's on different days, but one is the groom's family, one is the bride, then you have to notify them. Bechol, etc. Now, says the Gemara, an interesting diuk. Why did Rabbi Yehuda have to say in his words, the Mishnah, when it's saying Rabbi Yehuda agrees, that he said, that if you sold the mother to the groom's family, and the daughter, the baby animal, to the bride's family, why didn't it just say that when he sold one to the chasen, one to the kala, then yet you have to notify the second party? Why specifically did it say that the groom's family was buying the mother and the bride's family was buying the daughter animal? Says the Gemara, Milsa Agav Urchi Kamashbalan. The Tan is teaching you something incidentally in his words, which are chosen specifically to articulate this idea. The Urich Aro Lemitrach Bechasana. It's the appropriate way that the groom's family, they put in a larger effort to make the festivity, to make the Suda, to make the meal, which is the larger animal, the mother. It's Femi Bechalasa more than the bride's family, which gets the smaller animal, that's the child of the animal, and that's what the Tana is alluding to. Now the Mishnah said, Barba Prokamelo, in these same four times of the year, etc., then we force the butcher, even if someone bought only just a dinner's worth, he has to slaughter even this 1,000 dinner ox, even though he has no other buyers. Now the Gemara asks, but v'holi mashach, but the buyer didn't draw, he didn't make a kinyan yet, how could we force the butcher? So Ravuna Maravi says, you're right, Kisha Mashach, the halacha of the Mishnah, when he did Meshicha. So the Gemara says, if he did Meshicha, then look at the Sefer. Then the Sefer then contrasted and said, but all the other days of the year, not these four times of the year, then the halacha is not like that. And therefore, if the animal dies, it's a death for the seller because the buyer doesn't have any rights. But why? Even the other days of the year, if he did Meshicha, if he drew it to him, then he should have rights, and the buyer should be able to force, and there should be a loss to the buyer. So you're right, Amr B'Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, he says, Lo'el M'Shaloi Mashach. Really, it's talking about when the buyer did not do Meshicha. So he didn't do Meshicha, so how in these four times of the year could he force the seller to slaughter? It's talking about where the seller went and gave over the ox to another person, not in front of the consumer, and he told him, merit in this ox for that person, that he should have a dinner's worth of rights in this meat. Oh, so how does that clarify the differentiation in our Mishnah? Ba'ba prakam eilu d'schusulai, in these four times of the year, where it's a merit for the buyer, by giving it over to this other person, this third party, it's a merit for the buyer, because a person can't go in these Yom Tovim without meat. So zochen lo mishle b'fon, that's halacha that you can merit to a person even not in front of his presence, and therefore he already merited it, and therefore the seller can't back out anymore. But b'shayim ha'sashana d'chaybulay, but all the other days of the year where it's actually a debt for the buyer, because it's expenses and it's a loss for the buyer. So then the halacha is ein chav la'adam shlebefan. You cannot cause a debt, a disadvantage for someone else, not in front of him, because a person cannot become an agent for his friend without his knowledge. That's a loss. But for him to gain, then we testify that obviously he would like that, and therefore you can merit for him, but you cannot cause a debt. And that's the difference in these four times of the year. It's considered a schus, and therefore, since it was mezakula de'achar, it's already his, and the seller cannot back out. But all the other days of the year, he could back out because it's not considered a schus, and therefore it was not any merit by doing it through the third party. Another approach to Gemara says, Rabbi Lazam, Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Barba prokam elu, the reason for these four times of the year is because hemidu chacham devrein al din Torah. The sages then considered the law according to what the real biblical law is, which is actually a person's monies does acquire for him the rights, even without doing mashiach, without drawing it to him. Because Damar Biechen, as Rabbi Yechanan's opinion actually is, devad Torah moit kainis. According to biblical law, a person's money, once he gives the money to the seller, it actually acquires for him and none of them can back out, as we learned that from the laws of Hekid, by Hektish. By Hektish, the Pasuk says, if anas nakes of a kamloi, when the person gives the money to Hektish, it's already his. So you see, regarding the laws of Hektish, it's already done with money. So too, regarding with a hedid. Now, then why did they say in practical law, in rabbinic law, that actually it's not considered the person's by giving the money, it's only when he actually draws it to himself? That's a gizera, that's a rabbinic decree, that maybe the seller is going to tell him, sorry, your wheat got burnt in my attic, you know, you paid for it, but you never picked it up, and it got burnt. Because if we're going to consider the produce that he's buying in the responsibility of the consumer from once he gave the money, sometimes you give the money, you don't get a chance to pick it up yet, if it's going to happen to be a fire in the house of the seller where the produce is there, the seller's not going to go through the effort trying to save it because it's not his anymore. It's not going to be his loss. But generally, when there's meshicha, generally the guy, when he does meshicha, he already takes it to his house. And that's why the Rabbanan instituted meshicha, so that it shouldn't be a loss to the consumer. And therefore, the other days of the year, you're right, it's not his, and the seller could back out. But in these four times of the year, the rabbi is considered according to the biblical law because a person needs it so much, and therefore, that's in those times that the seller can't back out anymore because it's already considered acquired by the buyer. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this law of our parak of Eisav es Benoi. Yom Echad Ha'omer Ba'Eisav es Benoi. This that we speak about in the halacha of the Torah, that says it's forbidden to slaughter the parent and the child on the same day. So when we call it that same day, says the Mishnah, Hayom Ha'ilach Achar Laila. The day goes after the night, meaning if the mother was slaughtered when it got dark, you're not allowed to slaughter the daughter that entire night and the following day. But if, let's say, the mother was slaughtered during the day, so that night you're allowed to slaughter the daughter because the night doesn't go after the day, rather the day goes after the night. As the Mishnah says, Ezu Darsh Rav Shimon ben Zayma. It was this halacha that Rav Shimon ben Zayma had darshan, had expounded. Now, as the Gemara will explain in the Braisa, it's because this halacha of Eisav es Benoi is actually said in the context of Kodshim, which actually there, actually, the night goes after the day. So therefore, it was required for him to make the following drasha to say that, no, Eisav es Benoi, it's the day that follows the night. How do we know this? Because Nema b'maisa b'reishis, it says by the acts of creation by Hashem of the beginning of the world, it says that it was in the evening and it was in the day. Yom Echad, one day. Now, it says that same terminology, that same idea, that it's forbidden on one day. Now, just like it talks about one day by the act of creation. The day goes after the night, where it says, first it talks about evening, and then the morning, and that was considered one day. So too in this halacha, the day follows the night, and that's the halacha context for one day for this isser of slaughtering the mother and the child on the same day. Now, the Gemara expounds in the Braisa, Tana b'Amar in the Braisa. Ezu Darsh Rav Shimon ben Zayma. It was this halacha Rav Shimon ben Zayma expounded that lefisha kol einin kuli, because this whole halacha, this whole parasha of Eisav es Benoi, einim adabe ela b'kachim, is only talked about by kachim, because it's near the halacha of kachim. It says yiratzel karbanisha. It's talking about it will be accepted as a fire offering for Hashem, and it's right there that it says the isser of Eisav es Benoi. Now, b'kachim laila hoilach achayim. By the laws of kachim, the night follows the day. Like the pasuk says in Birkas Zayin, it says b'yim karban yoichel. On the day that he brings the sacrifice, then he's supposed to eat that carbon. And lo yanich memenad beker, shouldn't leave it over until the morning. So you see that the night following that day of bringing his carbon up until the morning is considered that same day. So yochel avzekein. So you would think the isser b'yisav es benoi is the same thing. So that's why Ben Zayma had expounded, and he says, no. It says over here, by the Issa Vaisav Ben Zayma regarding one day. It says regarding the acts of creation, also regarding one day. Just like over there, the day follows the night. Also here, when the Torah says, it's the day follows the night. Now, as we continue to the Beis, Rabbi Yom, he expounds something else from this wording of the Pasuk of B'yoy Mechad. It says, when the Pasuk says Yom Mechad, it means Yom HaMayuchad, the distinct day. That Toyin Karas, that it requires an announcement, meaning what he's expounding from this Pasuk, that there are distinct days in the year, which are actually from the previous Mishnah, the four times in the year, when you have to go ahead and make an announcement to the buyers and say, I already sold the mother to be slaughtered. Because either, as Rashi says, he's reading the words of the Pasuk of Leisishchatu, he's reading it, Loisashchitu. Don't cause the mother and the child to be slaughtered on the same day, meaning if you, because if you're not telling the second buyer. Or his interpretation is from the fact that it says Yom Echad, which sounds like one day, as if it's the distinct day. For what is it distinctive, if not to require an announcement? Which that's what Rabbi says. Mekat Nomer, from here is where they said, which was the halach of our previous Mishnah, Baba Prak Mashana Hamaycha Behem Lechaver Tzach Leidi. In the four times of the year, a person has to notify his friend that I sold the mother or the child today, and therefore you're not going to be able to slaughter today because you have to be concerned that the other one, the first one, already slaughtered today. We shall return to the fifth parak of Masechta Shechita and parak Eisav es Benoi, which spoke about the halacha, the prohibition of slaughtering the mother and the daughter of animals on the same day. And with that, we continue and we begin the sixth parak of Masechta Shechita and parak Kisei Adam, which continues on this theme of our Masechta of Chulin regarding halachas that apply to unconsecrated animals, which is by the slaughtering of the animal requires that its blood be covered in earth. Says the Mishnah, Kisei Adam Noig, this halacha of covering the blood applies Ba'aretz, Ubechutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, out of Eretz Yisrael, and that's not necessary because it's a Chiyuv Haguf, but it's only because the Mishnah wants to tell us that it only applies by Chulin and not by Mukdashin. So therefore, as we had in the previous Mishnah, and in other contexts, we then make all the other comparisons where sometimes there's differentiations, and we say, no, there's no differentiation there. Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz, Befnei HaBayis, B'Shaloi Befnei HaBayis, at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was around, or when it's not around. However, b'chulin avalei b'mukdashin. It only applies by unconsecrated animals, but not by sanctified animals, where obviously that doesn't apply to chayis, which as we're going to shortly quote, only applies by chay and oif, because there's no chay karbanis, but that is a chiddush in telling us by the chatas oif and the oilas oif, although as we're going to say right now that kish adam applies to oif, but by karbanis oif, there's no halacha of kish adam. And says the Mishnah Menoig Bechai Ba'if, this halach of covering the blood applies when you slaughter a wild animal or a bird, but it doesn't apply to behemoths, to domesticated animals. And B'mezumen U'B'she'en Mezumen, it applies to whether the creature was prepared or not. Now, that's also unnecessary to say. It's only because regarding Shiluach HaKein, regarding the obligation of sending away the mother bird before you take the children, a Mishnah later on, Kavlam HaChesma Beis, tells us is only when it's not prepared, but it wouldn't apply when it is prepared, which prepared is when the bird grows in the house where it's there. So there's a differentiation. So we say over here that regarding the laws of Kisei Adam, there's no differentiation. Now, the Noig B'Koi, M'neishu Safik. This halacha of covering the blood applies to this creature called Koi because that's a doubt. Is it a behema or is it a chaya? However, Vein Sheikhtu Naisa B'Yamtiv. Now, you cannot slaughter a Koi on Yamtiv because maybe it does require the blood to be covered. But out of doubt, you wouldn't be able to cover on Yamtiv because if it doesn't require, you're going to be doing chil yamtiv in things relating to the dirt. And therefore, v'mishachata, and if you do slaughter the koi on yamtiv, well, the ein mechasen has done, you can't cover the blood because maybe there is no obligation. But there might be, so therefore you can't slaughter before it. Now, the Mishnah had said that it only applies to chulin and not mukdashin. Ask the Gemara mukdashin, my time alive, what's the reason why the laws of Kisei Adam would not apply to creatures that are sanctified, like we are assuming of the chata sa'if and the oila sa'if? Why wouldn't they require that its blood be covered? So says the Gemara, Ilem and Mishum Reb Zeira, if you think it's because of the following halacha of Reb Zeira, the Amr Reb Zeira, he said, Hashaychit tzarech shidin ofa lamata. He says, the laws of Kisei Adam is not just covering the blood on the top. He says, the one who slaughters the creature has to put earth on the bottom. I mean to say, many times there's earth on the bottom, but you have to put soft earth, not hard earth. It has to be like the same type of earth that you cover with. And v'ofa lamala, and earth on the top. It says a pasuk in Meyikra. It says v'shafach es damai v'chiso ba'ofer. When you spill its blood, meaning when you slaughter the animal, so then you have to cover it in earth. Now, it doesn't say v'chiso ofer. Ofer le'nemer. It doesn't say cover earth, which that would sound like you only need the earth to cover it. Ela be'ofer. cover it in earth, which sounds like it's totally enwrapped in this soft earth. Malamed says Reb Zera, this teaches you shashechet tzoch shidin afalamata afalamala. They have to put earth on the bottom and on the top. Therefore, you're going to say v'hochel yafshir here by Mukdashin, you can't fulfill that obligation to put earth on the bottom, which would be on the mizbeach, which is where you do the malika, the slaughtering of the bird carbon on the mizbeach. Because heichalevet, how can you do this? If you're going to tell me leisiv v'levatle, okay, put earth on the mizbeach and nullify it there, meaning let it stay there forever. But kamaisa rabbinian, that's problematic because you're adding on to the height of the altar. And the entire length and width and height of the structure of the Mizbeach was all given to David HaMelech through prophecy. Uksiv, like it says in the pasuk in Divrei Yamim, where David HaMelech said to Shlema, Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alai hiskel. Everything in writing from Hashem was given to me to understand that I was taught it has to be exactly these dimensions. So you wouldn't be able to leave the earth there because it would be adding onto the height. Now, and if you're going to say lo levatle, okay, don't nullify the earth over there that you're doing v'kisa adam. Well, then kav chatzitza. Then that earth is going to be an interposition between the blood and the altar, and the halacha requires that you do the mitzui, the squeezing out of the blood. Bikir hamizbech, it has to hit the walls, the surface of the mizbech, and the earth is going to be in interposition. So therefore, maybe that's the reason you're going to say that kisa adam does not apply to mukdash. That says the gemara, but nihi delamato. You're right. Although on the bottom, meaning on the surface of the mizbeach, beneath the blood, meaning before you do the malika, lo yafshir, it's not possible to put earth because that's going to be chatzitza, like you explained. But lamala, but on the top, meaning after you do the malika, efshir, it is possible because levit kisui, do cover the blood on the top, which is not a chatzitza. What are you going to say? Why wouldn't you at least do that part of it? Because mile tanya didn't. We learn the brisa, the Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef Aimer, he says the following halacha. Says shachet chaya. Let's say someone first slaughters a wild animal, which requires kisa adam. That blood falls on the floor. V'achkach shachet behemah. Then afterwards, you slaughter an animal on top. So now the blood of the behemah is on top of the chaya, which doesn't require kisa adam. So patam melchasis. So you're exempt from now covering the blood because there's no blood of animal over here. It's already covered over with the blood of a behemah. So what are you going to cover? There's no, you're not covering the dam of chaya. That's already covered under the dam of the behemah. Now, if it's the other way around, behemah v'achkach chaya, if he slaughters first a behemah, and then the blood of the chaya is on top, well then chayav l'chasis, then you have to cover the blood, because now it's uncovered on the top, the blood of the chaya. Even though there's no earth on the bottom between between it and the blood of the behemah, there's no earth beneath the dam chaya. It's the dam behemah that's on the bottom. And still you're saying, okay, even though you didn't cover it on the bottom, because it's the dam behemah on the bottom, but you still have to cover the top. So if so, as to get my hero, so though you're right, you can't put earth on the bottom, but as we see from that brisa, you should at least be obligated to cover it on the top. So why is Mekdash and Putter? You're right, you can't do all of it. You're not going to cover the bottom, because that would be chatzitz or adding on to the dimension of Mizbech, but at least cover the top. Says the Gemara, no, because it could be Reb Zera. Like a different halacha of Reb Zera. The Omer Reb Zera said, which is in the context of halachim in Masechtas Menachas of Kaf Gimel Amabez, the Gemara tells us, you cannot bring one vessel of a flour offering with 61 Isra'inim. And Isra'in is a certain amount measurement of flour. You cannot bring it with 61 Isra'inim. The Gemara there explains the reason is because the Torah says you have to bring a flour offering that could be mixed, which has oil and flour. Now, 60 Isra'inim could be mixed in one vessel. But 61, the Rabbanan understood that you cannot mix it appropriately. Now, the Gemara there, however, asked, okay, even if it cannot be mixed, what's the difference? A Mishnah tells us clearly, if you don't mix it, it's going to be kosher. That Reb Zera answers and he says, no, but it has to at least be able to be mixed. Because kolaro labila, whatever is at least fit to be mixed, then ein bila ma'keves boy. Then you're right. That's what the Mishnah says, that even if you're not going to mix it, it's going to be kosher. It's not going to withhold the validity because you could. But v'chol shein ro labila, whatever cannot be mixed, then actually bila ma'keves boy, then actually the bila, the mixing is actually integral. And therefore 61 that you cannot mix is actually not going to be kosher. So therefore here too, that in the case that we discussed from the Braisa, that when you have the Dam Behema on the bottom and Dam Chai on the top, so it was appropriate that you could have put earth beneath the Dam, on top of the Dam Behema, under the Dam of the Chaya, meaning after you slaughtered the Behema, you could have put earth and then you would have slaughtered the Dam Chaya, which then the Dam Chaya would have had earth beneath it and then to put on the top of it. So although he didn't, but that doesn't tell us that there's no halacha anymore of kisa adam, because it was ro, You could have put earth beneath it, now, although you didn't, but okay, so that's not ma'akav, and then you still have to cover the top. But by mukdashin, by karbanas, where it's by the bird karbanas, where you cannot put earth on the bottom, it's not row. So then, that's what we're saying, then the mitzvah of covering with earth on the bottom is ma'akav, and then you actually have to have it, because it has to be row. And since you can't, so there's no mitzvah of kisadam there at all, and therefore you don't cover it on the top either, because you can't have the full mitzvah. But the Gemara still asks, but why? Veligrare. Why don't you just scrape off the blood from on the altar after the blood of the chatas soif and oil soif was sprayed on it, and then put it down on the ground, v'lechasi, and cover it? Because mila tina din, we learn the Mishnah Masechta later on the Pizayin Mabez that says, damanitas. If someone's slaughtering an animal in a pit, wants to keep the blood contained, that he could cover it. But some blood sprays at a distance, or the blood that's v'sha'al asakan, that's on the knife itself, which it's not on the earth. So the halacha is, says the Mishnah, chayav l'chasis, you have to cover that blood. Now, obviously, you're not burying the knife. The blood of the knife is not being covered only if you first scrape it off from the knife, and then you put it on the ground, and then you cover it. Sa'alma degara machasle, so you see you could do that. It doesn't have to be the area where it dropped. You could scrape it off and cover it. Sa'achanami nigrav v'nachasle. Why don't you do kisei dama mukdashin? You're right, an altar you can't do it? No problem. Do the malika on the oif. Let it fall on the mizbeach, scrape it off, put it on the floor. You have earth on the bottom, you have earth on the top. Why wouldn't you have kiseh dam by mukdashin? So the Gemara says you're right. Ibakach mizbeach, if, as we thought we're talking about all along, if we're talking about karbanis that are brought on the mizbeach, like the chatzah sa'if, so hachinami, you're right. There is an obligation of covering the blood, because since it's a shchita ru'uya, meaning it's a slaughtering that would be makes the animal, the bird, eligible to be eaten, because chatzah sa'if is eaten by the kahanim. And yes, you could scrape it off and put it on the ground. So of course you're chayiv in kisei adam. But our Mishnah, Hochmei Iskin, what are we talking about? Is bekachei bedek habayis. We're talking about birds which were sanctified for the temple upkeep, which are for the hektish to utilize for different purposes, not to bring as karbanas. But then someone went ahead and slaughtered it, where that's forbidden to have benefit from it, because it's hektish, and a person can't slaughter it for his own purposes. Since it's a shchita she'einu ru'uya, it's something that doesn't make the meat of the bird eligible to be eaten. So that's why it's exempt from kisei adam, because the shechita sheinu ruya, as we were discussing in the previous parak, is, according to some, lav shechitahi. So it's not considered a slaughtering, and the halach of kisei adam only applies when it was a slaughtering. And therefore, that's what our Mishnah was saying, that kisei adam is not going to apply by mukdashin. But on that, the Gemara continues to ask on top of pedal and alef, but why? Even after the slaughtering of kachet bedek abayis, v'lifrikinu, redeem it. Deconsecrate it, let the monies now take on the sanctity, and then this bird, since it was properly slaughtered, should be permitted to be eaten, and then milchasina, and then you'll cover the blood. Why is there no kisei adam by mukdashin, even by kachet bedek abayis? So the Gemara, you can't do that, because bein hamad baracha, you need to have that it should be able to stand and be evaluated, because halacha's pidyon, you have to evaluate and see, okay, how much does hektish have to get for the money that you're deconsecrating? And halacha is, you cannot redeem kachem after its death, because the pasuk says in Vayikachav Zayin, v'hemet as a behemel lefnei ha'kohen. So if you want to redeem it, you want to deconsecrate it, you have to stand the animal in front of the kohen. V'herech ha'is ha'kohen, the kohen evaluates it. But after it's dead, it can't stand. You can't have hamada v'haracha. So if there's no option, and therefore that's what the Mishnah was saying, that there's no halacha of kisei adam. But the Gemara now asks on the answer we're giving. Ukaman. So who, according to whom you explained the halacha of the Mishnah, that you're explaining an answer that's contingent on two different rationales. First of all, you're saying, oh, because it's kachet bedek abayis, so it's a shechita she'einu ruya. It's not an appropriate slaughtering, which not everyone holds, but you're saying that it's not considered a shechita. And additionally, you're saying that you also can't redeem it anymore because you need to have hamad baracha. Who's that like? As the Gemara says, it seems like whoever you're going to go like doesn't hold of both reasonings. Ikri me'ed amar, if you go on the Gemara that he says in the second parakim sechtes temura, that hakol hoyi b'chalal hamad baracha, that this obligation of requiring it to be standing when it has to be evaluated, you want to deconsecrate it, that includes all types of kachem, not just kachem mizbeach, a carbon that had a blemish that you want to deconsecrate, but it even applies to kachem bedek abayis, which is what we want to explain for the halacha of the Mishnah. But okay, you'll have that one element. But he says in the Mishnah later on, the next daven peheim and aleph, that if you're slaughtering and it turns out the animal is a treifa, he says you still have to cover the blood. So obviously, you see, he holds shchita sheinu ruya shma shchita, even though it's not a shchita that makes it fit to be eaten because it's a treifa. He still says it's considered quote a shchita to have to cover its blood. So you don't have the other element. And Ikrib Shimon Amar Shechita Shein Rulish Meshechita. And if you're going to say it's like Rabbi Shimon Amar Mishnah, who we learned in the previous parak, that he owes. Oh, he says clearly that if it's not a slaughtering that makes it permitted, it's not considered a slaughtering. But the problem is then the other halacha. Ha'amar, he says that only applies by Kachem Mizbeach that you have to have a Madav Aracha. But loy hayu, but the halacha of kachet bedik abayis was not included b'chol hamadav aracha. That doesn't require it to be standing to be evaluated. That could be even when it's dead. So then we're back to the question. Then you should be able to redeem it, and then to be obligated in kisei adam. So the Gemara, Amar Yisrael, he says, you're right, Rebihi. Our Mishnah was anonymously said by Yehuda Hanasi, according to his understanding, because of anasav la'alibad tanoi. He explained this halacha according to a combination of two different Tanoim, where he saw one opinion in one halacha and the other Tanoim in the other halacha. B'shchida sheina ruya sabalak Reb Shimon, regarding the halacha of if it's not a slaughtering that makes it permitted, and that he had like Reb Shimon, that is not considered shchita. And b'madav aracha sabalak Reb Meir, and regarding the other element of that, something has to be standing to be evaluated, he had like Reb Meir, that applies even to kachay b'adik abayis, and therefore that explains the halacha of the Mishnah, why kisei adam wouldn't apply to it, because it's a shchita sheina ruya. Because it's not meant to, when you take something, it's me'ila, or you take something of a hektish, it's not something that's permitted to be eaten. So it's not considered a shechita ru'ya. And additionally, neither can you go ahead and make it then fit to be eaten by redeeming it and then having to cover it, because he holds once it's dead, then you can't do a madav aracha, which applies even to kachet bedik abayis. And again, that's why the Mishnah had said, a contribute anasi, that it applies only b'chulin avaloi b'mukdashin.